Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I have in studio with me here live Brad Bird. He's a singer-songwriter. He's an all-around great dude. He's out of Joshua Tree. And we just went on a weird little road trip to Bisbee, Arizona, which is maybe the strangest place in America, by the way. It's very much like New Orleans, kind of, but on the border they have bumper stickers where they say it's Mayberry on acid. And
and they're pretty spot on, I think, with that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment. So,
yeah. Then so we tripped out in Bisbee.
Yeah.
And then we tripped on over to Tucson.
Yep.
Last night for a really great show.
Played at 191 Tool. Patrick, TNT's own Patrick Henningsen was in attendance with his brother Tim. And,
whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, TNT was in the house last
TNT
night.
TNT was in the house. He wasn't reporting live. He should have been reporting the gig live, but there you go. And then whoa. Brad and I went and saw some interesting art spaces after the gig. We got invited to, you gotta go see this crazy art space and do an art show there. I was like, yeah, but I gotta be up by 6 a.m. because I got radio, we gotta drive back, we gotta do this. It's like that road life sort of thing. And we ended up going to this warehouse, checking out this incredible art space in Tucson, and then we got out of there as fast as we could and started driving home to Tempe, Arizona, which is where we are now.
Trying to make good time to be up for this.
Very responsible. Couple of rockers that were being very responsible on the road.
We could have stayed and partied longer, but we didn't.
Oh, yeah. Opened up for us in Tucson.
We had opportunities.
The red carpet of going into a debauched tailspin was right before us. And we said, no, we're mature people. We're here on TNT Radio. We're here to rock.
Right.
We got it. We have things to do anyway. So we get.
So we left in a timely manner.
Yes,
I think. Out of nowhere, out of the blue, what happens?
Gridlock traffic for an hour at like 1 a.m. There was a highway accident.
There was an accident, and we were just. We were not moving for at least an hour.
To the point where a double semi truck with a double load like bucked the system and went down the sort of side of the highway, and it was. It was
people were
losing their mind.
Yeah.
And anyway, so we got in around 3 a.m. I got up at 6, set up the studio, went and woke Brad up.
I think I slept for like maybe 2 hours.
We are crusty, ladies and gentlemen, but we are here and we are excited to be here. We're living other people's dreams, Brad. What do you think of this rock and roll music life that you've embarked on? You're also a businessman. You have a headhunting agency. You do all kinds of stuff. You could make an easier living if you just went into the straight world, so to speak, aka straight world. But you've decided to. You got a Sprinter van, which is nice. That's a nice way to tour.
Yeah.
But it's still rough and ready. You book your own shows. What is giving you the gumption to embark on this life, this rough life of being an on-the-road musician, somebody who's trying to figure it out and get your voice and your songs out there? Why, Brad? Why are you doing it?
Why? The why. You got to find out what your inner why is. Because, you know, you write songs and you record songs, and I've been writing songs. I really didn't start writing songs till I got into college, which, you know, sometimes
kind of late.
I was kind of a late bloomer, you know?
Yeah.
I know people are like, oh, I started writing songs when I was 8. You know, I'm like, I'm not that guy. You know?
I was a little kid.
You were?
Oh, yeah. I was a kid.
Of course.
I was writing like electronic music when I was 13.
Four.
Yeah.
No.
And I thought I was Mozart.
I played drums in high school. That was my first instrument. It's like I bought my first kit my freshman year in high school, and I was pretty obsessed. But I was like a sports guy, crazy athlete, hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
That was my life growing up. But yeah, once you start recording songs and you put them out in the world, you're like, oh, wait, now I got to go perform these songs. I got to go play. And it's like, it's a trip, man. Like just these last two nights, it was just two nights, but it just feels like, I don't know, man. It feels like it was like a week or, I don't know, 2 weeks. I don't know. It's just so much goes on in just 2 days, you know, and just two adventures, two cities. It's fun. It's fun getting out there and And like that, even if you just have like five people say like, dude, that was great, man. You really moved me tonight. I mean, that's, it's such a dopamine shot, you know, to just get that, response. Like, oh my God, your music's great. And it's like, I want to keep feeling that, you know? So I guess that's what keeps me kind of chasing after it, you know?
Yeah, in life we have to fight for purpose, right? I mean, it's to live a purpose and to actually get overcome your own personal demons enough to actually put effort and energy into a crazy dream, right? And you were like saying that you the feeling of us driving off into the night after the gig, you said you love that feeling. What do you think about that feeling? What do you love about that feeling?
I don't know. There's something about the road, though. Like, it's like when you're touring, everyone talks about like the cities and this and the other. Like, to me, it's like getting back on the highway and the road and all the scenery you see when you're driving. Like, once you get back on the highway, back on the road, there's this freeing feeling. I don't know what it is, but it's always called to me. It's always like agreed with me. So there's like this high of like going into, like last night we went into the city of Tucson. We did this thing. And then we escape. Next thing you know, you're on the highway again, and you're like looking back at the lights of Tucson, and you're just like, we just did a thing there, you know. Mm-hmm. There's something interesting about that, you know. And then there's something interesting about staying in the city and doing the thing and seeing the sights. But a lot of the times, I just kind of like, you know, you get off the highway, you go in somewhere, you do a show. Next thing you know, you're back on the highway again because you got to like get 12 hours to the next show, so you got to make time that night, and you can't stay over. So I like all of it, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a trip. And it's just like last night when I was watching you perform with that like sparkly sequence suit coat. You were rocking the Technicolor dream coat. You were representing TNT.
I was. Always representing like, TNT.
You know, and Joe's up there. Like,
I even announced TNT from the stage. I promoted this show.
Dude, it was great. And I was like, we're entertainers, you know. I never really thought like, you know,
yeah,
like, you know, it's like you write songs and you learn how to play an instrument and you get into this music thing, but then later on you realize like you're like a comedian, you're like all these other aspects of you come out on stage, you know, and it's like you're making people laugh. And I just never thought I'd really be an entertainer because I was always like a little bit more like on the shy side. So I never thought I'd be like this guy who's like loves to be on stage and like entertain people, you know. It's kind of a weird thing how it's grown into that over the years.
Well, people love you, man. I mean, you're really good. You got a new song out. Let's hear it now. What do you think? Like, you want to play this? We got our guitars up. Let's do a little
should we do a little,
and this is your new single. Tell the folks about it.
So this is a song. I try to put out a song once a season, so winter, spring, summer, fall. So like I try to put out like four songs a year and then do like some touring around each release of those songs. And this is my spring release, spring offering, if you will. It's a song about just trying to like, this too shall pass. Like you move through life and not react to things too much and get sucked into the anger and sucked into that hate and just like keep searching for like, you know, the truth, you know? Anyway. Just about like my dad once said to me, he's like, you gotta move through life you gotta roll through life like water off a duck's back. And it was just like one of those lines that's always kind of stuck with me. Clearly it's not easy to do. I'm
really
far
difficult.
From fucking, well, sorry swearing, but I'm far from, you know, figuring it all out.
We all are, bro. None of us have it figured out. Anyone that says they do, they're lying.
Nah, dude. You know, but I mean, 90% of the time, I feel like I'm on the beam, and then 10% of the time, I'm just like, dude, like, I gotta see my therapist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, 90% is pretty good percentage.
I think so. But that 10% can get kind of funky sometimes. But yeah, this song is called "Let It Ride," and it's just all about, you know, trying to let things go and move through life. So,
let's do it.
Hope you like it.
How many seasons do we have in life? How many phases till we get it right? 'Cause I'm in search of the truth and all I see is fake. It's hard to stay in the light when you're swallowed by the hate. And let it ride. And let it ride. How many brilliant nights you pass me by? How many chances did I have to get it right? And how many lessons do we have to learn? That when you play with fire, sooner or later you get burned. And let it ride. And let it ride. Desperation brought you back. A separated, slipped off track. For now I'll let it ride. How many seasons do we have in life? How many stages till we give up the fight? 'Cause I'm in search of the truth and all I see is fake. It's hard to stay on the road when you're running out of faith. And let it ride.
Joe shredding on
oh, Keith
on the lead guitar.
Keith is my inspiration when I'm playing acoustic solos. I always try to channel Keith Richards. We got to go on break real quick, but think about who some of your main songwriting influences are, and let's get into that right after. We're here with Brad Bird live in studio, by the way. And by the way, he's sitting on my lap. It might look like we're next to each other,
but this isn't split screen.
We are literally, he is literally on my lap, and we haven't showered. But we'll be right back after these words on TNT.
TNT's Pella Nuroff-Taylor.
There was a lot of backpedaling from the French, the Americans, and to some extent the British, the Americans, who'd also been attacked because the head of the Democratic Party in Congress, Hakeem Jeffries, had said, well, we might have to send American troops to the ground. Well, The administration said, no, we're not, and we're recognizing Putin as a legitimate president of Russia. The French even sent their ambassador to Putin's inauguration as atonement. And from what I hear, the Corriere della Sera, the Italians have pushed for and have got through the fact that there will be no NATO boots on the ground now or ever. And that's going to be clubbed through at the NATO meeting in July, and everyone's going to go behind it, because we've got to stop this terrifying sort of back and forth and then strategic ambiguity. Don't forget that World War One was started accidentally, according to some, on this kind of game playing.
Pella Nuroff-Taylor on today's News Talk TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. Prediabetes does. One in three adults has prediabetes, but with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. And you can change the outcome. Take the 1 minute prediabetes risk test today. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org.
Asthma is a growing problem, especially among children. Asthma affects the quality of life for millions, like me, every single day. My name is Chris Draft, and I have asthma. And I've spent more than a decade in the NFL tackling asthma on and off the field. Join me and the EPA in helping people control their asthma. Asthma is a lung condition that can be controlled through medication and by avoiding things that can make it worse. Three steps are the solution to controlling asthma. Step one, talk to a doctor. Step two, make a plan. And step three, get rid of things that can make it worse. Asthma can be tackled. For more information on asthma, log on to epa.gov/asthma.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Everyone deserves to live a full life. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Are we on the air?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air 24/7. Your news talk giant, TNT.
And we're back with Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. We have with us in studio right now, Brad Bird. So, hello. Brad, we were talking about influences right before the break. Tell us some of your favorite songwriting influences and how they inform you and how you gain inspiration from them.
Yeah. You know, in the early days, I think it was a lot of like, it was like The Cure and The Smiths and U2. Like, I remember being like, 8 years old and playing like a hockey stick and pretending it was an electric guitar, like looking out my window and pretending like I was playing in front of thousands of people to like where the streets have no name, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was mainly bands, you know, when I was younger, but then as I've gotten older, you know, I've truly like really appreciated like the songwriting, you know, of like Tom Petty and Neil Young specifically, you know, those two guys, just like the incredible songwriter.
Why is, you know, Tom Petty so good? I mean, it's like his songs are so good and they're so satisfying. It's like,
yeah,
they're just so satisfying, and yet they're simple. Like if you try just write a Tom Petty song, it's like
When you learn a Tom Petty song, you're like, oh, it's just D, C, and G here,
right?
Like, and then you look at Neil Young, and it's like, you know, E, you know, flat, and you know, like all kinds of weird chords and different things that it's like a little bit harder. Not every song, but he's a little more challenging. But yeah, Tom Petty, like, I don't know, man, the guy could just write songs that were like, I mean, he was telling his story, but he was writing songs that were universal too in a lot of ways, you know?
Right.
It's like, I try to do. I mean, I don't. I mean, look, I don't think we try to do anything. We just do what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Hoping that it connects and resonates. But I feel like my body of work, like I've been true to my story, and I also feel like there's a universal element to the music too. You know,
mm-hmm.
that, and I think that's what we all wish for, right? But anyways, yeah, man, Petty is just like,
I saw Tom crazy. Petty's last ever concert.
At
I
the Bowl? Up,
yeah, I was at you the Hollywood there. Bowl. Yeah, I was there. Dude. That was the only time I ever saw him as well. And
are you serious?
Yeah.
I've seen him a handful of times. Phenomenal.
So I ended up being at his last show, and it was just, it was incredible. My friend Mandy Stein, who Seymour Stein's daughter, actually took me to that show.
Wow.
And you know, I mean, I've always, of course, been a huge fan of Tom Petty, and one, it was thrilled to go see him, but I had no idea that would be his last ever show. It's like,
have you covered his music over the years?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think I ever have.
Wow, man.
I can't remember.
I feel like everyone's got like a Tom Petty song in their arsenal of covers, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to hear you do some Petty at some point. You know?
Yeah, I just, it's one of those things where he encapsulates just the sort of magic of music, because when somebody uses very like sort of simplistic forms and is doing, you know, and lyrically as well, he's super effective without sort of being overtly poetic,
right,
per se.
Right.
Like Bob Dylan is like super poetic, and you kind of can understand, you can sort of see the underbelly of where his magic arrives from, because it's like so poetic and you think, oh, that's why it's magical. Whereas with Tom Petty, it's, you know, here comes my girl, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, like,
and
like,
it's
just, Tom Petty wasn't sitting on the old typewriter freaking writing, like, you know, like a Rolling Stone. You know, Tom Petty was just sitting there with a guitar, an acoustic guitar, going C, G, and then D, and then all of a sudden just, this is the melody, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? The lyrical, the vocal melody to fit in with, you know, it's amazing what you can do with simple chords. You know? And he was like a master at that.
There's that documentary where he talks about his longtime bass player. He was playing Free Falling, and the bass player was like,
yeah,
this one's just not as good as like your older stuff. Like, he was kind of hating on it. And he goes, and then Tom goes, and I was playing him Free Falling, you know, like, but it kind of, you kind of understand how the bass player could have made that mistake, if I'm getting it right, that it was the bass player. I think I am.
He's the one that, he died of heroin, right?
I think so. You can get why he could make that mistake, because it is so simple. Like, I'm free falling. It's like, come on, Tom, try a little harder. But then it's like, that's a stone cold classic.
I could totally see them, like, after Petty putting out two or three albums of, like, other tunes, all of a sudden they're jamming. It's like, because I'm free fall. And then being like, dude, this is like pop trying to, this is like cheese pop, like trying to go for it. But then all of a sudden it just, you know, takes on a life of its own.
Well,
you know?
Speaking of that, how often when you're writing songs are you thinking of like potentially writing a hit? How often do you like hear something on the radio and think like, let me try to write my version of that? Or or is your inspiration usually a more personal experience?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've never sat down like, I mean, actually, I was in this writing class. I mean, I've never really go to a lot of classes for anything ever when it comes to creativity. This one thing that I did, it was, the whole point was to like deliberately go and write a hit song. So I just wrote up like hit song chords, and there's like four chords, you know, like, and I just repeated those songs. And it was actually, it's a great song.
It's like C, G, A minor, F.
One of them was C minor.
Yeah.
Like an A, E, C minor.
Yeah, there's certain hit songs that most of them have these same chords.
Yeah.
And the other thing with hit songs is you're supposed to appeal to female psychology.
That,
you know, like you're supposed to be about like, I love you and I can't live without you. If it's like
I have no songs called like Suzanne or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like named after a female and shit. And I don't write a lot of love songs either.
Well, maybe,
I don't know. My stuff's like about like, you know, overcoming struggle and shit.
Right.
Know? It's like my recurring, and I don't even try to do that. It's just, You know how it is? It's like, I don't think we try to do anything. We just, you know.
Well, some people like, do. That's what that's the nature of the question I'm asking you is,
I don't
how
try.
Much do you try?
I just sit here, like, I watch hockey at night, and I just strum my guitar, and then all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, I'll just be like, what was that I just did? And I'm like, this is kind of cool. And then you build upon that riff, and next thing you know, like, the babble turns into some sort of words over time, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes like a lightning bolt, and it's, like, all fully formed, but that's, like, super rare, especially with the lyrics. But then you run through it, refine it, tweak it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, you know, you have this thing that you've chiseled into what it is, and, you know? And you just don't know what's going to be a hit. I mean, it could be a slower song. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? It could be about, I mean, everybody thinks a hit's going to be more up-tempo and rock and a rocker, right? And I think usually those are, right?
I don't know. There's ballads that are hits.
Right, there's ballads that are hits. So it's like, you just don't know what's going to, you just have to feel it and just dig the chord progression and dig the vocal melody that you lay into it. And hopefully the words come together and in an interesting way, you know, but that's the tough part, I think, really. I mean, I think it's super easy to, like, come up with the chord progression that's cool.
Right.
I think we can all do that, right? I mean, some people, obviously, that's hard to do, but I think
that's
you and
pretty,
I, like,
that's easy to do. Easy. I usually, my problem is I'm even going through a lot of my new songs now and going, like, man, I keep writing the same chord. Like, so many of these songs have the exact same chord progression. It's like,
hey, the chord progression works.
All right. I don't know, though. It's like, I got to dig a little deeper. But let me ask you this. Like, I know you're a guy who, you know, you even said a lot of your songs are about struggle. I know you're somebody who deals a lot with, like, sort of aspects of recovery and how much of music is a spiritual process for you? How much do you sort of seek solace in God or whatever through music?
I think it's totally spiritual. I mean, this whole process of being a musician and putting your music out in the world and then being like, okay, now what do I do with it? Like, who do I get it to? How do I get it out there? Like, you have to let, there's nothing you can really do. It's wild, man. I mean, maybe there is, I just haven't figured it out yet, but it's truly like the spiritual, like, you give it over to, like, the universe.
What do you mean you're on TNT radio right now?
Right? Marketing, marketing, let it ride. But it's just, you just never know where the stuff's going to go. And it's this whole, like, surrendering to this art form. And just finally, when it's done, you just let it out into the world. And I don't know, it's super spiritual. And yeah, man, I mean, I think a lot of what I'm writing about is spiritual. Spiritual.
You got another song for us right now?
Yeah. So what do you got? So I lived in LA for a long time. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, I moved out to the desert near Joshua Tree, California. And so I live in this town called Landers, California. And this is like the first song I wrote living in my house in the middle of nowhere. I live on this ranch on 15 acres. And this song just totally came to me out of nowhere. It's kind of got a very much so like spiritual desert vibe thing to it.
What's it called? So
it's called Go.
All right, take it away.
Check it out. No, I'm not a perfect man. Blew my top and lost my head. Said I won't let it happen again. Who knows what's in store tomorrow, my friend? Go. This is where I lose my mind. All this sun and the trouble I'll find. The songbird flying in the sky. She whispers.
whispers to me late at night. Go. I think I found God in the desert today. She was another pretty face with nothing to say. I took a sharp turn and lost my way. Got stuck in the sand, somewhere off a ridge. Go.
Called Go, written in the high desert. How important is location to music? Do you find different locations inspire different types of songs?
I used to think it wasn't a big thing. You just wrote songs wherever you were, you know, and the location was kind of part of it. But since I moved out to the desert, man, my songs have become like they've expanded, man. Like the instrumentation or the writing just lends itself for much more expansive, almost psychedelic-ish. And I'm really kind of grateful about that, because when I was in L.A., it was almost like writing that, like, well-crafted kind of song, 3 minutes and 30 seconds, like, trying to play the game. And then I moved out to the desert, and, like, my songs started getting longer and, like, a little bit more expansive. And I think my songwriting has really kind of grown, you know, since I moved to the desert, for real. You know, so I'm grateful.
Grateful for you. That's one of my songs. It's a new one.
It's a great tune.
Listen, Brad, that one does sound very expansive and wide open. It's reminiscent of the desert vibe,
yeah. Right? Yeah. So, it was the first song I wrote in the desert. And, like, it's super simple. It's three chords, the whole song. But, you bring it up, you bring it down. Some parts are finger picky, and, you know. But sometimes all you need is three chords, dude.
Yeah, or like one of the greatest songs of all time. A lot of the greatest songs are like, dig if you will a picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this? Dream if you can, a courtyard.
What is it? So that's just
oceans and violets and blue. Animals strike the most curious poses made. They feel the heat, but keep between me and you. How can you just leave me standing alone in a world that's so cold? Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father, too bold. Maybe you're just like my mother. She never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when doves cry. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. Yeah, so when doves cries, the same chords over and over again. Incredible.
What chords is it?
I don't know. A minor, G. I can't remember already, and I just played it. Don't challenge me this early in the morning. But there's no bass on that song either. It's incredible. I
no
love
bass, man.
But anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk more in studio with Brad Bird right after these words on TNT.
We come from a long line of farmers, and there's a sense of pride with being part of these multi-generational businesses. But there's also a significant amount of pressure. My senior year of high school, my dad made the decision that this world no longer needed him in it. I don't know if he was overwhelmed by the bills and checks that weren't going to be coming in because of the strawberries dying off, but it breaks my heart that my dad made a permanent decision for a temporary issue. Don't feel like you have to go through it alone.
Farmers have to take care of their physical and their mental health, because what's a farm without a farmer?
The mornings, that's my time. Watching the sun come up, I can have a cup of coffee and exercise if I want to. It helps that's me start cool. the day with a sense of gratitude.
Yay!
Every day is a new opportunity. Don't forget to check in on yourself. Love your mind.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
See, Smokey thinks I'm funny.
You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
What on earth is the difference between embers and cinders? I don't know. I've got a new song called The Cinders, and then I thought maybe you should call it The Embers, but I like cinders better. So
I feel like they're
like, what's the difference?
Are they brother and sister? Are they cousins?
Are they the same thing? Is it...
Yeah.
The same, is it two, does that thing get two words?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe somebody I need to start engaging in the chat. Maybe somebody in the chat can tell me the difference between embers and cinders. We're going to get all this up. I'm inspired embers by Johnny Vedmore's show. His show is very chat-based, I noticed, and I kind of want to ape some of that. Johnny Vedmore, TNT Zone. He's my brother from another mother over there in England. Anyway, Brad, the road goes on for you. You're on a bit of a marathon, and you're going to like beeline from this studio right after this interview back to Joshua Tree, back to the high desert, and you have a live stream I want you to tell people how to find, but also you're doing a... tell people what you're doing. You got people coming to your space, and you have art. You're a painter as well.
I live on this ranch house on this top of this hill. Incredible views. Super lucky to found this place and it's a town called Landers, California, and it's like 15 acres. I got no neighbors, but my whole house is an art gallery. Like, you know, I've been painting pretty steadily since like the early aughts, you know, and like largely influenced by Joe, actually.
How dare you?
I know, right?
I mean, I'm the painter musician guy. What are you doing, Brad?
I know, right? I mean, you know, and my mom is actually a legitimate realistic painter. Like, she's amazing. She'll, you know, amazing. She's like Bob Ross and shit. She's got like paintings in galleries and all over New England and stuff. So she's always like, you know, you were always a good artist. So, you know, you need to get back into that.
Yeah, you are good.
So, like, I still, like, you know, wonder, like, what am I doing? But I feel like what I'm doing is kind of interesting. Anyways, my
We all have those negative voices in our head, Brad. You're not alone.
Yeah.
We all have
sometimes
them.
I'm like, what am I doing?
They're raging in my dome as we speak. They're saying, what are you doing?
Totally. And that's the tough part, man, about the voices. But anyways, my whole house, and thank God my wife is cool with it, but she does appreciate my art. My whole house is my painting. So that's my art, is my paintings. And, you know, there's some big ones and small ones. So, and then my garage is like this, you know, studio. I don't really record in there, but I rehearse in there. I got like drums and piano and bass and all the things that you need to do a full band rock show. And like the second Saturday of every month, like in the spring and the fall, I try to do this like open house thing where I just invite a bunch of friends to come by. Like from like 3 to 6 in the afternoon, like hang out, we got a pool, like we barbecue, but it's just like hang out, check out the art, you know. And then I do this like live stream show at like 4:30 p.m. PST.
How do people tune into that?
If you just go to my Instagram and Facebook,
Brad Bird, right? With a Y.
Yeah, Brad Bird with a Y. It's just Brad Bird on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah. So there's another Brad Bird. He's also another singer-songwriter. Lives in Arkansas. No. It's crazy. Yeah. And like he's like...
The most I have is James Arthur. Sometimes people confuse me with him, but thank God there's no other Joseph Arthur singer-songwriter. I never thought
there would be, but now there's this dude named Brad Bird who's actually pretty good,
yeah.
Which is crazy. But he actually recently reached
out. They always are. The ones that adopt your name, they're also...
I know.
And they're always slightly more famous. Have you
it's
noticed
crazy,
that?
Man. It's crazy, man. I'm a little more famous than him. But recently he reached...
Only just, Brad. Only just.
Just for a short period of time.
He's angling
before
for
he surpasses
you.
Me.
He wants to be the number one Brad Bird on the scene.
But you know what's crazy is he just reached out to me recently.
Oh, really? You guys should do something.
Right? So I said, dude, why don't we do a show sometime and just double bill Brad Bird? And he's like, dude, totally. So
I have the...
So instead of the egos genius. Kicking in, we just said, fuck we,
embrace
you know,
it.
And I'm just like, dude,
no
like, be cool about it. Sorry.
Hey, but yeah. I have the best idea. Dude, yeah. Do a covers album with Brad, with the other Brad Bird, and all Bird-related songs. Like, fly like an eagle to the sea. You know, all Bird songs.
But mine, I'm BYRD, so I don't know. It kind of makes sense, but I hear you. I'm with it.
That's a good idea, Brad. Don't leave that one on the table.
Joe's going to produce that.
I'll produce that if you guys do that.
We're going to do that here.
We could do it right in this very studio.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like think about songs that have bird themes. But anyways, so yeah, so.
It's a good idea.
So it's pretty crazy. Like today, like I'll have like 50 people like sitting there and it's super intimate. It's like, boom, there's a lot of people right there and you're like garage, you know, and like you're playing. But it's live stream, but it's also with an audience. And then, you know, I don't make it like all about me where it's like I'm playing forever. I just kind of do a short thing where it's like, you know, stokes people out, but it's not too much of a time suck. So I don't know.
That's cool.
And then hang out and just have a good time. So it's like this thing that I do. Like, I'd love to have you on sometime.
I'd love to come. What's the deal with the desert? We hear about it a lot. Joshua Tree, there's Dave Ketching's studio out there, and like the desert sessions, the Queens of the Stone Age, and you know, Afghan Whigs record out there, and you know,
and the Foo Fighters go out there
and Christopher,
and Chris Thorne.
Chris Thorne. His shout studios. Out Chris Thorne. We could try to get him on TNT.
His
Blind Melon.
Sick.
Yeah. So there's it. A lot of artists and freaky people are over there, right? What's the scene like?
It's like Bisbee. Like,
it's not that weird.
It is
weird.
It
can't
weird.
Be that weird.
Oh, dude, it's weird.
It's not Bisbee weird.
It's Bisbee weird.
No
man.
Way.
For sure. Are you kidding me, dude? It's
nothing
Joshua
is Bisbee
Tree.
Weird.
It's Joshua Tree, man. I mean, it's the desert. It's eclectic. I mean, you know, Pappy and Harriet's, which is like arguably like the most famous music venue, is out there, you know, and a lot of people move to Joshua Tree from LA, all over the place, just to kind of like It's a lot of artists, a lot of talented people, a lot of filmmakers, a lot of people from LA have moved out there during the pandemic. I mean, my whole town of Landers is like all LA people. Like, so it's not like you're living in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of randos. It's like a cool eclectic group of people that are living there. And, you know, it's interesting, man. It's, you know, I dig it. You know, I don't think I can move back to the city again. I lived in, you know, like you, I lived in New York City for years. I lived in LA for a long time. But now, like you, you're in Arizona, you know, and I'm in the desert. We're both in the desert now.
Yeah, I love it. I love being here.
The space and just, it's like easier. Everything's a little bit easier when you get some space. So as an artist too, like for me to paint, like I paint outside and like I can, I just have room to breathe and I can play as loud as I want and just crank an electric guitar through an amp at any time of the day or night. Nobody hears me, which is something like, I mean, I remember recording in New York in my little studio in Brooklyn.
Oh yeah.
And just like, you know, you're playing a kick drum and like the neighbor below is like, you know, hitting the wall, you know, you're constantly like confined.
I always lived in illegal space when I lived in Brooklyn. I was living in industrial, like Red Hook. I had no neighbors. I could play drums at 3 in the morning. I could crank my studio like so massively loud. I had such,
that's hard to pull off in Brooklyn.
I pulled off so many amazing spaces when I lived in New York. I was blessed.
I wish I saw your like MoMA, your setup in Brooklyn, man.
Yeah.
It would have been cool to see that.
So let's talk about keeping dreams alive real quick, because you know, neither one of us are spring chickens, right? We've been doing this for a long time. How much do the demons of, hey man, you know, it's time to sort of get responsible and give this rock and roll dream up, or like, do you fight those things in your life, and how do you overcome that?
I don't know, because I'm going through it. I, you know, I go through it. You know, I'm married, you know, and like I have responsibilities and 4 dogs, and you know, it's tough, man. It's so tough. You know, it's like a lot of money goes into this, you know, recording and touring, and it's not cheap.
You know
what I'm saying? I mean, no, any which way you look at it, it's an expense, and it's this ongoing expense. And when your accountant at the end of the year says, Brad, you put in X amount of money into your music and you made Y. So why would you, from a business perspective, this isn't making any sense. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like this is constantly coming back at me, you know, the financials of it, you know, and it's just like, but like, I don't know. I just feel like I've been doing this for 20, 25 years. I put out a lot of music that I think is good. I mean, I think that it, you know, it's just, how does it find its way in the world with so much music and content out there? It's insane, you know? But I mean, but like just the last 2 nights, man, just like playing those 2 shows and like, getting that feeling for that, you know, you moved people in some way, like your music like comforted them or helped them or inspired them or whatever it was, that, you know, you have this gift to be able to move people, and not everybody has it, you know, there's a lot of musicians out there, but it's not, a lot of them can't really like move people, right, you know, and it is a spiritual thing, I think. And so like the last 2 nights, I'm like, no, this is what I should be doing. Like, I'm reminded again, like, this is what I should be doing. And sometimes I just want to get in my van, dude, and just go on the road and just like leave my life, you know. But when I get back and all of a sudden you're just like a Wednesday again and you're back doing the day job again, all of a sudden the dream starts to like, it's there, but it's like, it's not in front of your face. But then when you go on the road and you got shows, you're just like,
well,
I'm alive again. I'm like living the dream. But it's psychologically, you're like, is it real though? Like,
yeah.
Is this real though, or am I just going on like a couple, like a little mini vacation? Like, when's it going to be real? Do you know what I'm saying?
It is real. Like, I mean, because you have this outlet to give something, right? And it's like, that's a deep spiritual drive. All of us, I think, like at our core, want to be offering up something to our brothers and sisters and also to God. And so if you have a connection with that, which you definitely do, I mean, you are a legitimate songwriter. You write great songs and,
thanks,
you know, you're motivated to do it. Of course, it's a blend between ego and spirit. So how do you balance that out? And do you think much about that? Like, ego versus spirit?
I mean, for me, I gotta stay sober. I can't drink and use drugs. I've been trying to stay sober since 2006. That's a long time to try to stay sober, and I'm coming up on 2 years. I had 7 years during the pandemic. I relapsed, and you know, it's tough, man. You know, and it's like in this struggle of like not making the money, and like it can get to you, you know, and like. But for me, like, I gotta meditate, I gotta pray. Like, when I wake up in the morning, like, I hit my knees, and I, you know, it's something like I'm doing this time around in my sobriety, and it's like helping, I think, keep me sober, because like, it's so easy, man, to just want to say the heck with it, you know, and just, you know, just go on this trip and just, you know, I don't know. For me, it just doesn't usually end in a good place, you know, and it's a subtle thing, but I also got to exercise and like really take care of myself, and I got to do all the things to stay even keeled, you know, and meditate and just like pray to just trying to like stay even keeled with this whole thing and just keep moving forward and like just be super grateful that I actually can afford to do some of these things. You know, I have this day job as a recruiter headhunter. I've been placing people in jobs since 96, and I've also been doing music that long, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just weird. It's like Clark Kent. Like, by day, I'm like this guy in an office, and then at night, I'm like, I throw on the Superman outfit, and I'm like, and I'm just like, I have these two identities. Like, a lot of people know me as this, like, headhunter guy from New York City and LA, and I place a lot of people in the entertainment business, and then other people are like, what? Like, you do that too, dude? Like, I thought you were like this like hardcore musician that, you know, you were definitely doing this full time. Like, I mean, I did do this full time for a while, and I was like super broke, and it was painful, you know? And then finally my wife was like, I know you can do this head hunting thing. And now I'm like, you know, you place a few people in a job and you make like, you know, 20, 30, 40 grand, you know?
Hey man, can I borrow 10 grand? No, I'm just kidding. Well, wait, so, but I like, mean,
you know,
now
it's,
how much?
It's a good thing to, and you can do it on the road, like while I'm driving around in the van, I'm like placing people in jobs, and then, you know, so it's like something you can do remote. So if you can find that side hustle that you can do remote and still be able to travel and tour,
yeah,
then you kind of maybe balance it out. But I don't love doing the head on thing. It's not my heart, my passion. Like, I just want to be doing my music, and I just want to be able to make, like, you know, like Magic Kenny. Like, I just, and this guy in Bisbee, Magic Kenny, man, he cracked the code. He's a magician. He makes like six figures a year. He's telling me all about it. And I'm like, dude, I gotta like take notes, man, from Magic Kenny and Bisbee on how to like, just, you know, make, cause you really need to make like six figures a year to be able to like cover all the bills in this crazy world, you know?
Wow, a lot of people don't make that much money. You know, it's these are tough times, but I mean, you know, it's important, I think, to put your spiritual pursuits first and foremost. I mean, you know, it says in the Bible, seek first the Father and all else will be added on. So I try to keep that in mind every morning that, you know, I have to seek Him first and try to let Him guide me so that my spirit is driving the bus and not my ego. My ego is not my amigo, but we gotta go.
Yeah.
Brad, thank you for coming on. Tell people again where to find you.
Thank you for having me, man. Just Brad Bird, BYRD. You know, Google me. I'm on all the things, Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, all the things. So
gotta
thank
go.
You again.
Thank you, Brad Bird. We'll be right back with more right after these words on TNT.
Peace.